Philippians chapter 3, verses 12, 13, and 14 are our main verses this morning. I want us to get excited about the new year. It's been a heck of a year. We don't have a clue what's waiting for us around the corner, but God does. And God has given us some marching orders. He wants us to serve Him wholeheartedly. Remember those two greatest commandments: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There you go, church people. There's your marching orders. That's what God has called us to do. So Philippians 3, 12 through 14, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing. Father God, we are nothing without you. We are nothing without your anointing. But Father God, thank you that you are in this place and you are guiding my words and you are opening our ears and our hearts to receive the message that you have for us, Lord. I rebuke any discouragement, bitterness, despair, anxiety, frustration, whatever is not of you. I just rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father God, that we are a church that loves you, Lord, that we love you and we want more of you and we want to do and be what you've called us to be and do. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Everybody in church building said, amen. Go ahead and give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Open up your hearts, open up your ears. Just give me a few minutes of your time. I want everyone to be encouraged this morning. Maybe you're tired from the holidays. Maybe you're, I don't know, whatever you might be going through, you might just be dreading starting a new year next week. But this is a wonderful blessing that God has given us. This is that fresh start, you know. So we have this wonderful opportunity as we turn the page tonight to just say, you know what? I made some mistakes last year. I dropped the ball a few times last year, but I want to be more devoted than ever to picking up my cross and following Jesus each and every day. You know what I mean? That's what we need to do. We need to take this thing serious. This Christian thing, we need to take it serious. I'll be honest with you. I've been blasé about it. I've straddled that fence for many years. I've allowed myself, I've given myself allowances for certain sin in my life, you know. But now is the time for us to decide, you know what? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, like the old song says, you know. We got to get to that place to where we realize, it's like what Moses said in Psalm 90, teach us to number our days. You know, let's understand that we're only here for a certain amount of time. You know, and I want to get in that place, and I want you guys to get in that place to where we have decided that, you know what, more of Jesus, less of me, each and every day. That's not something we just say. That's something that we have to apply to our lives. More of Jesus, less of me, less of the old man. It's not here. We got to become second in our life. You know what I mean? It's not about you. It's never been about you. Once we've accepted Jesus Christ, you said, I am your servant. I am your servant, not the other way around. He's not your genie in the bottle. Can I get a witness? So let's jump into our text right here, Philippians 3, 12 through 14. I'll tell you this. Well, no, I'm not going to bore you with that. Philippians 13. Calm down. Look at your neighbor and say, you just need to calm down. Just relax. Count to 10. People like you. Everything's okay. All is well. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. What a wonderful, precious thing. I like what the Apostle Paul is saying right off the bat. And you'll notice he says it in verse 12, in verse 13. He's saying, basically, I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I have it all together. I think as a minister, that is so breathtaking to see the Apostle Paul say that. This guy who said, follow me as I follow Christ, is saying, I'm not perfect. I get that. I understand that. You know, there's this little bit of, I'm a little higher up than you on this podium, but I don't ever, ever, ever want you guys to think that I think that I'm better than you or I've got it all figured out. We're in this thing together, growing in our relationship with the Lord. And yes, I am determined to follow Jesus, and I want more of him and less of me. But that doesn't mean for an instant that I think I'm better or I've got it all figured out. We're growing in relationship with the Lord and one another together. Can I get this? The humility of what the Apostle Paul is saying is also breathtaking. I mean, I'll read Romans 7:15. I don't know if you do have it. Romans 7:15. This is what the Apostle Paul said about his own Christian walk. And maybe this might be a little refreshing for you, not giving you a free ticket to go out there and sin. Jesus doesn't do that. But look at what Paul says, Romans 7:15. For I do not, how many of you guys can relate to this verse? For I do not understand my own actions. Is that speaking to anybody this morning? For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. This is a seasoned Christian right here. This is the great Apostle Paul saying, you know what? I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't always do it. Matter of fact, the thing I ain't supposed to do, I end up doing it sometimes. That's us. We're all in that boat. And we need to understand that we need to be humble, if I can say that. That's something that all Christians need to work on. And I mean that. As we go out and we spread the gospel to a lost and dying world, the last thing we need to do is pretend we're on our pedestal or we're on our high horse, you know? And we don't even want to come across that way. We can't help how other people perceive us, but we need to make sure in our heart that I'm doing everything right to come across as humble, as a servant of the Most High God. Does that make sense? Well, that would mean if I'm talking to somebody about Jesus Christ and they're not a Christian and they have some weird, strange worldview, some weird philosophy, you know, don't shut them up, man. Let them talk. Let them talk. If it's important to them, let them talk. Don't just interrupt and try and get your word in there. It's not about winning an argument. It's about saving a soul. Anyways, moving forward, I just want to say that it is hard to receive from a prideful teacher. It is so hard to receive from someone that is just puffed up and arrogant and prideful. You know, the Apostle Paul, he had that thorn in his flesh. He had this ailment of some sort, and he asked God repeatedly, please remove this from me. Paul said, I feel like I could be a far better apostle if you took this ailment away from me, whatever this thing is. And Jesus said, no, Paul, I'm going to tell you what. God said, no, I'm not going to take it away from you because of the amazing revelations and the way that I use you, Paul. If I was to take this ailment, this thorn out of your life, you would become puffed up and prideful. God hates pride. He has nothing good at all to say about pride. So it's totally refreshing for me to see this amazing teacher of the gospel say, look, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Matter of fact, Proverbs 16 and verse 18, pride goes before destruction. That's the truth. As you read scripture, you will see over and over again, God says nothing good about pride. Pride is like a wall that we put up. I said it's hard for us to receive from a prideful instructor, and that's certainly true. But it is triple hard. It's really, really hard. If you are prideful, I'm talking to myself. If you are really prideful, it's hard for you to receive from anybody else. You think you've got it all figured out. The Apostle Paul says, I'm about to unload some truth on you guys. But let me say this right off the bat. I'm not saying I'm perfect, church people. I'm not saying I got it all together. But this is so important, so I want you to open up your ears, Philippians, to what I'm about to tell you. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? let's go back. Go back. I'm sorry. I messed up. Let's go back to the first slide. Yeah, there we go. So Philippians 3 and verse 12. And I know this is a familiar passage to most of us, but I think it's timely for right now in the season that we're in as we're starting this new year. Philippians 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Hey, let's apply that to our own lives. Look, we've got a lot to learn, each and every one of us. We've got a lot to learn. We have this fresh year starting up where we can devote ourselves to being and growing in our relationship with the Lord. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but this is so good. This is so good. But I press on to make it my own. Paul the Apostle, he's saying, not perfect, but you know what? I do have this desire to be the best Paul the Apostle that I can be. I do have this desire to be the best Christ follower that I can be. And I think that that's so important. We know it's so important that it's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me that I have to focus on. Well, you just said that you got to be second. I'm talking about our relationship with the Lord this morning. I'm talking about, don't look at where somebody else is. Don't get that prideful arrogance. Well, I can't believe that they did this. I can't believe it. Look, no, you focus on you and your relationship with the Lord. I'm not saying you can't pray for somebody. I'm not saying you can't encourage somebody. But I'm saying, look, don't worry about what somebody else is, where they're at in their walk with the Lord, is what I'm trying to say. Focus on you and your walk. You know the story Jesus said, you know, you got this big old telephone pole in your eye, and you're worried about this tiny piece of sawdust in this guy's eye. Work on the telephone pole, brother. Then you can work on that little speck. And that's a lifelong process of getting that telephone pole out from underneath your eyelid. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. But I press on. I strive. I turn it into high gear. I'm serious about this thing. I press on to make it my own. I want to be the best Christian that I can be. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God doesn't ask you to do it on your own. But we can say no to that sin that has bound us our whole lives. We can say yes to what we need to say yes to. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul said, I can't do it on my own. When I'm weak, he's strong. When I'm weak, I'm strong because I lean on him to give me the strength I need. Look with me at Luke 9 and verse 23. It's on your monitors here. This is what Jesus said about that walk, about that journey, about our Christian relationship. Luke 9, 23. And this is a hard word right here that Jesus is saying. But Jesus never tried to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. He said, look, you want to follow me? The foxes have holes. The birds got nests. Son of man, I got nowhere to lay his head. This Christian thing, this walk, it's not the easy road. Okay, but guess what? At the end of it is eternal life. So look at your neighbor and say, well, that ain't too shabby. Luke 9, 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So look, let's apply this to our lives. Jesus says, God says in Scripture, take it one day at a time. One day at a time. Tomorrow you'll have your own deal. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Tomorrow will have its own problems. You take it one day at a time. And then Jesus says, as you follow me, you got to be willing to pick up your cross. Well, what does that mean? That means that I'm willing to go anywhere, do anything, whatever it costs me to be this follower of Jesus Christ. You know, and it's beautiful right here. It says daily. That's some instruction right there. You want to follow me, you got to take up your cross. You got to deny yourself. If you're going to follow anybody, if you're going to follow anything, there's a part where you have to deny yourself. You join the U.S. military, you got to say, I'm denying myself some of my freedoms to protect your freedoms. I'm willing to even give up my life so you can have your freedoms. You might not think about that when you're signing on the dotted line, but that's what you're doing, you know? So here's the deal. If you want to follow Jesus, He says, look, it's not a game. You got to be willing to take up your cross daily and be obedient. I mean, even when it hurts your pride, we all know pride comes before a fall. We got to let the Lord work on that anyways. When it doesn't feel good to be what God's called us to be, we got to pick up our cross daily, every single day, decide more of God, less of me, you know, moving forward. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See how this word from Jesus, it's focusing on you as an individual. Like I said, not that we can't encourage people, not that we can't pray with people, or iron sharpens iron and all that stuff. I get that. I know that. But I'm talking about in this new year, each and every day, we got to focus on ourselves, our journey with the Most High God, my relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't let anybody else hold me back. I can't get frustrated because it looks like somebody else is climbing over the mountaintop, man. All right. Or this person's got the favor of the Lord and I don't. Man, just serve God. Just serve God. Be his servant and he'll take care of what needs to happen in your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in his scriptures. Believe his scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't deceive yourself. Trust in the Lord. Lean on, don't. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. God just said, believe my word to be true. Obey my word, and I'll direct your path. I'll make your path straight. I'll get you to that place in life where I want you to be. Okay. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. This is my favorite part of this verse. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. What a beautiful thing that Paul gets, that he understands. You know, I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. And the apostle Paul, you know, he had a different thing going on than me. When I was lost to the world, I knew I was doing wrong. I knew, because I was raised in the church and I knew I was just being rebellious. I wanted to sow them wild oats or whatever you want to call it. I was just being bad, being stupid, being dumb, being ignorant, you know. But the Apostle Paul, this cat was actually blinded. He was blinded by this religious spirit, and he thought that he was doing good by killing Christians. He was like, man, this is what I do, man. This is my pure religion. And here is this offshoot, crazy, wild sect that is just causing havoc in my religion that is so pure and perfect. I got to do everything in my power to make sure it goes away. So he was killing people, man. And he got great joy from that, this bloodlust that he had. But see, he thought he was doing right, which is different than me. I don't know what your deal was before you came to Christ, but I knew what I was doing. I was a sinner, and I knew it all day long. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Look at 1 Timothy 1:15. It's right there on your bulletin or your monitor. This is what the Apostle Paul. Now, this is the Apostle Paul later in his ministry. Later in his ministry, he's talking to his protege. He's talking to his understudy, Timothy, and he says this. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the truth. That's what we're here for. But look at this next part, of whom I am the foremost. This is the Apostle Paul. This guy wrote this huge chunk of the New Testament, and he said, I'm the foremost sinner. It translates like this. The King James says, I'm the chief of sinners. NLT said, I am the worst of them all. He's not letting his past sins, he's not letting his past failures keep him back. He's not letting his past failures hold him down or keep him from his future. And that's very important. We'll talk about that in a second. But it's clear what he's doing is he's not forgetting what he's been saved from. He's not forgetting what God forgave him of. And he's holding on to that. Not holding on to that as a burden, but he will not forget what he's been delivered from. And that's so important. And that's that pride thing again. Sometimes we forget, you know, we forget what we've been delivered from, what we've been saved from, what Jesus paid for in my life. And maybe you aren't as rotten, as nasty as me. I'm not saying you were. you know, but I know what I've been forgiven of. And I know that my sin is vile, you know, and we've all been forgiven of so much. Anyways, tell the truth, shame the devil. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide, church people. Philippians 3:13. The Apostle Paul says, I'm striving, I'm pressing down to be the best Christ follower that I can be. I'm running my race, man. I'm not looking behind. I'm not getting tripped up looking behind. I'm looking forward. I'm not looking in the other lane, seeing what you're doing or what you're up to. Are you way ahead of me? Are you way behind me? I got my thing going on. It's me and Jesus. Philippians 3:13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Saying the same thing he said in the previous verse. Not saying I'm perfect, but let me unload some wisdom on you. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do. I like that. It's like, I'm pretty good at this. I'm really good at this, Philippians. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Here we are. We're starting a new year tonight at midnight. Past is the past. There ain't no fixing that. We've been forgiven of that. All right. So let's talk about the past for just a tiny second. There's a few things that can mess us up in the past. You know, there's things where people have hurt you. People have hurt you, circumstances, situations have happened, and it has hurt you. Okay, God says, I'm doing a new thing. You got to let that go. If someone needs to be forgiven in your life, even if they don't deserve it, God says, forgive them. That is the big deal about moving forward. You can't be chained to unforgiveness. I know, man, I've been there. Seriously. But anyway, somebody's hurt you, something's happened, we got to work on that. I'm not saying it's easy. But we got to start that process. What do you mean process? I mean, you forgive this person. You say, I release you. I release you. And then when Satan brings that back into your remembrance 5 minutes later, it's like, no, I release that person. I release them. I'm not going to camp out there. I'm not going to live there because that's death and destruction. It's hurting me from moving forward. I release it. Over and over again, if you got to do that. Anyways, I'm not saying it's easy. But I'm saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm not saying nobody didn't hurt you. I'm just saying that I can have peace. I can have peace and I can move forward in my relationship. There's those situations where somebody's hurt you. There's those situations where you know that you've messed up. You know that you have made a big mess. You know, that's just as real as anything. But you can't let that hold you back. Remember what the Apostle Paul said is, I know what I did. I'm not letting that hold me back, okay? But I'll never forget what I've been forgiven of. And I'm going to use that to push me forward. But I'm not going to be bound by my past sins no more. I'm not going to let that destroy my future because God has allowed me this opportunity to serve him. I don't know how many more years I got, but I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Can I get a witness? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, it's one of my favorite verses, by the way. If you don't like it, you should get into it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, therefore, if anyone is a Christian, therefore, if anyone has said, I am a sinner, I need a Savior, I believe you're the Son of God, you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be your Lord and Savior, you're in Christ. What does that mean? I mean, it means Jesus Christ's righteousness is placed on you now. You know what I'm saying? And your sin was placed on him. He paid for that. It's up to you to receive it, though. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Something supernatural happened to you when you accepted Jesus Christ. You're not the same person anymore, okay? Something supernatural happened inside you. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling inside you. That's crazy. That's the truth. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. That's what I want to talk about. Okay, those past sins, they're forgiven. So stop letting them hold you back. You know what I mean? What about the sins I committed yesterday as a Christian? Hey, his mercies are new every day. Repent. Repent. Do an about face. I'm sorry. And walk away from it. He'll give you the strength. Amen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now look at Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's an amazing verse. Don't just memorize it. Don't just get to where you can quote it, but let it mean something to you. Get it in your heart. You know, that the condemnation, Jesus saved us from our sins. He took your condemnation. He took my condemnation on himself. God's judgment was poured out on him. So if it's been paid for, then why are we holding ourselves back, bound by the selfish, stupid things we did in the past? I'm not saying it wasn't stupid. I ain't saying it wasn't selfish, because I know how to sin real good. What I'm saying, man, is if you've asked Jesus to forgive you, it is forgiven. So we gotta, you know, we lay these burdens down at the feet of Jesus, and then when one fiery dart gets thrown in our face, then we go right back to the foot of the cross and start putting them burdens back on ourselves. Now we're supposed to leave that at the foot of the cross. Okay, so there's that. Don't let your past hold you back. And also the victories. We got to talk about that for a second. You know, those accomplishments that you did last year or the year before or last week. Okay, you're not done. Each and every day, I got to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow Jesus. No turning back. Don't say, well, you know, I did that. I went out and did this. I witnessed last year, whatever. Man, don't stop. Let God use you. Amen. We're on this journey as individuals to be what God has called me to be. Okay, so I can't stagnate and say, man, I already did that. I did that thing. You know, it's just kind of, I think I've read scripture enough. No, you didn't. Look at your neighbor and say, no, you didn't. I've heard, you know, awesome people tell that to me, but I know scripture. And you still got to stay in it. You need to stay in it. You got to feed that spirit, man. The word is a lamp to my feet. Let's go to the next slide. Is everybody doing all right? Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul said, I ain't perfect, but let me give you guys a little bit of advice. I leave the past where it is. It's in the past. I'm not worried about it. I'm forgiven of it. I'm not letting it hold me back. I'm not forgetting what's been done for me, but I'm not letting that stuff hold me back. I've been forgiven. I've been set free. Now I'm going to strive with everything in me, and I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit to be the best Christ follower that I can be. More of God, less of me, each and every day. And he said, look, I'll be honest with you, man. I got a goal in mind. Right? There's something I'm shooting for. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I got a goal. It's just like that dude running that race, man. It's the finish line. And I want to finish strong. I don't want to be like one of these guys in scripture. It didn't finish too well. Started off great. It didn't finish too well. I don't want to be like some of those guys that we know in our world, you know, that started off strong, didn't finish so well. I'm not looking at them. I'm not worried about them, but I'm going to learn from them, if that makes sense. Okay. So I'm going to do what I got to do to finish strong. And what happens sometimes, seasoned Christians, we can kind of let our guard down, you know? That's why I'm telling you, it's so important to surround yourself by brothers and sisters in Christ. Surround yourself in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God and stay in that communication with your Heavenly Father. Keep that prayer line open between you and the Lord so you don't get in that situation where you're like, I ain't going to fall in no sin. I've been a Christian for too long, man. Satan can't get me in that area. It talks about that in scripture too. You know, we got to be careful about that. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. I press on to take the goal. Says, I want to finish strong, man. And he does. He completely does. And that should excite us, you know, more of God, less of myself, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So look at Matthew 6:20. No. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. And I don't believe you have that, but I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. We're talking about pressing on, giving it all, running towards that finish line. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Did you guys not know that? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? What does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's not about some geographical location. It's not about being in some temple in Jerusalem, all right? It's not about God dwelling in this church building or First Baptist or anything like that. Something amazing when we come together and worship the Lord. You know, he inhabits the praises of his people, you know. And I'm not saying you can't walk down here all by yourself and have a great time with God, but I'm saying, look, the Holy Spirit, God lives inside you, man. You're the kingdom. What? Isn't that weird? Isn't that cool, though? Okay, so check this out. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? It's a gift from God. You are not your own. That's what I'm trying to get at. You're not your own, man. You don't belong to yourself. That's what I mean. We gotta take second place. It's not about me. It's about serving the Lord. You know, that's where fulfillment's going to come from. You know, saying, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, then I'll be happy. No, you won't, maybe for a day or two, but it's not going to work out. Your fulfillment comes from following God and putting him first. Whom you have from God, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. That's important. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. So glorify God, honor God with your person, with your whole being, who you are. Give it all to God, everything, right? Put him first, because you're not your own. You've been bought with a price, and that price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You can't put a price tag on that, man. You know what I mean? The blood of Jesus Christ was given so you could be redeemed. And the Apostle Paul's reminding the Corinthians church, hey, you're not your own. So you need to start living like you're not your own. You got a boss, you got a master, and he's a good one. He's not going to let you down, but you need to sell out to him and follow him. I press on toward the goal, that's the finish line, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul said, man, I got a goal, and I got prize. I got a prize waiting on me. So, preacher Paul, we shouldn't get excited about what's waiting on us on the other side of glory. I don't know about that. I mean, you see it over and over in Scripture, where the good Lord says, well, I'll read this verse right here. So, you know, the disciples are like, hey, you know, we've given up a lot to follow you, Jesus. We've given up a lot. And he says, I'm paraphrasing, are you going to get paid back many times over for anything you've ever had to give up for me? So what does that look like? I don't know exactly. But look at this, Matthew 6 and verse 20. What I'm trying to say is it's worth your while. I mean, talk about salvation, eternal life, spending eternity with your Lord and Savior, growing in intimacy and relationship with him and working for him for all eternity. That's not so bad, right? That's awesome. That's amazing. But here's a little icing on the cake, man, for the Matthew 6, 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures where neither moth nor rust destroys. We get so bound by these temporal things. They don't last. They can't last, and you ain't taking them with you. You leave them around for your kids to fight over. We're neither moth, none of our kids would do that. Where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. It's talking about eternal stuff, big stuff. God's got a big blessing for you. So here we are, man. We're running this race. We're turning another page. We got a new year starting tomorrow morning. You know, now let's just dig in and give it all we got. And when we want to falter, when we want to give in, when we get weary, lean on the Most High God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We got to keep him at the forefront and not get discouraged and not get selfish. All right? You know what? So here's something pretty cool. I don't know if everybody in here has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I don't know. I don't know, and I don't want to assume. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to go ahead and do that. So I'm going to say a prayer. And if you want to become a Christian, just repeat after me and mean it. if you want to become a Christian, if you want to be forgiven of your sins, I don't need to be forgiven of my sins. What does it matter if I'm a sinner? Well, okay, so here's the deal. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So you have a choice where you're going to spend eternity, either eternal damnation or joys everlasting. It's about accepting what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. That's all it is. So if you want to be saved and spare yourself from eternal damnation, say this prayer with me, all right? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your laws. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, Jesus, and be my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. I turn from my sins. And I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. And I will follow you and serve you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So if you said that,